You're listening to Talk the Walk, the podcast putting legs on social work in Indigenous communities through story. From Darwin, Australia, this is your host, Lucy Van Sambeek. Welcome back to part two of my conversation with Josephine Lee, an inspiring senior Aboriginal social worker who has traversed all breadth of social work and currently finds herself supporting children, families and schools in remote parts of the Northern Territory. We are often told that we can't change the world, even though we enter social work to do just that. After listening to this conversation with Josephine, you will walk away with renewed belief that change really is possible. Be prepared to be confronted and have your white middle-class assumptions challenged as we head into part two of this conversation with Josephine. While it was an easy decision for me to interview Josephine surrounded by the beauty of nature, doing so means being open to the elements. So I apologise for the sound quality at those times when the wind picked up. We pick up our conversation exploring other influences on Jo's work from her unique life experience.
Just a reminder about your question around the other things that have influenced my life, and also really stressing the living of life and how you make sense of it, and knowing that every moment that goes by is an absolute privilege. I truly do believe that you do need to identify strong theories and approaches and ways of intervening or ways of doing with people that you feel will, and there is a selfish part of it, that will fuel your purpose in life, and that at the end of the day, you can look back and look beyond the things of day-to-day, you know, whether it be government, non-government, etc. But what were those sparkling moments? What were those sparkling moments? Because often that's all it is, it's a sparkling moment. And I was trying to give you different examples before about how fortunately I've been given feedback from clients or people that I've been able to be helpful with in life, etc., so that it's been able to affirm and confirm what I'm doing is okay, you know? So I think too, because it's an opportune time also to share with you, Lucy, around where to now in my life, okay?
Yes.
Because I'm actually really excited about where to from in my life. And I have, again, but because I've worked for nearly 30 years in social work, and also I'm fortunate that, you know, my health and other things in my life is giving me permission to have a really serious look at where it is and where to and where do I invest my energy for the next number of years. And if life is generous enough, because it actually already has been generous enough with me, is that it could be another 20 years that I'm looking at as to truly being a change agent. And with all that I've learned and what I know have yet to learn, but also the fortunate position that I'm in of being a very strong human being, okay? And I say that as in I'm pretty unshockable. I can relate to most people, probably relate more with the down-to-earth humans better than the ones who do robot behaviour too well. But I've also had the benefit of having achieved well in a number of areas and know what does work and what I could build on and that. But I'm also very comfortable with me, who I am and what I am. And I actually don't need people's approval, you know. And it's actually an incredible freeing space to be in. I'm quite guilty of that. I could get myself sacked because of what comes out of my mouth, but sometimes it's actually almost inviting something to go full on because I did something really right. So if I was going to be sacked, it'd be over something really right.
right. Well, I actually wanted to ask you a bit more about what it's like to walk in two worlds, because you've shared a lot about your own personal experience or your life experience that is really about walking in two
Yes.
worlds, and how that impacts you as a social worker.
So it's a really complex answer that I'm going to give you, Lucy, and hopefully it'll be not too fractured. So walking in two worlds, I'm the oldest of nine siblings, and we're a packet of licorice all sorts, and I'll explain that. I say it jokingly. Some of my siblings are quite dark in their complexion and have Aboriginal features. So therefore, every day they deal with racism. They have to just step out of the door and they deal with racism, okay? Because of their physical appearance. Because I have fairer complexion and blue eyes, I can get away with certain circumstances as passing. But I'll tell you what happens in those circumstances. I hear racism at its worst. I hear god-awful social workers say god-awful, ugly things that I really don't want to hear. And that.
And do you pick them up? Do you
Yep,
challenge them?
yep, yep.
Yep.
Sometimes, though, I'm guilty. I have to go for a little walk because I'm about to explode. And I do have a bit of gangster behaviour where, where one's tired of being polite and just wants to say it as it is, sort of thing. Which, sometimes might fall on deaf ears, but in the majority of situations, I've actually behaved myself and been able to articulate to the others that whatever it is, it's not appropriate. And I'll explain an example of a situation. In a shop, and I notice these really cute remote kids with their granny, and I slip saying out loud, "Noon noon noon, they're the cutest kids on the planet." Noon noon is an Aboriginal word for, they're so cute that you want to squeeze them, right?
Right.
And the white old lady behind the counter says, "They would do a lot better with us," right? This is only about
Oh,
2 years ago in a
gosh, you
shop
are
in
kidding me.
Darwin. And I realise I'm having one of those moments of where I pass and she thinks she can say something god-awful racist to me, right? I then say further about what are you talking about when I actually do know what she's talking about, because I just can't help myself. And she goes, "Well, they get scabies." I'm guilty of Lucy that I let loose and I said, "Well, fucking scabies don't fucking target just black people, they target white people. You be careful, the scabies might jump on you now." I walked out of that shop quick as, because I was on explosion, Lucy, right? And I rang my husband, who's an Aboriginal man who has to deal with racism regularly in his life because he looks Aboriginal, right? And he says to me, "Go back in there and fucking rip it in her, because she needs it ripping in her." And I know I really don't need encouragement because I'm at risk that we'll get a police arrest because I've gone out of my head, right? But the moral of that story is sometimes people are so ignorant with their racism that they're not even worth bothering with. And you've got to work out where you put your energy and where true change can happen and where greater flourishment can happen.
So can you think of some examples where you've challenged other social workers,
Yep.
and that's been a
So
really
very
effective
recent,
tool?
very recent, very recent. So sitting on the board of AASW, I actually was sitting there listening deeply to them, and I was being respectful. And then as I got deeper in my listening, is I heard social workers othering Aboriginal people like you wouldn't believe, and talking about Aboriginal people as the client. And I was actually finding in myself I was repulsed. I was starting to become repugnant with what I was witnessing, what I was hearing, and what I was part of. It's also one of the number of reasons why I decided that it's time that I move on from being on the board of social work. My energies need to be entering where I truly help Aboriginal people to become more powerful and to realise the gifts that they have. The second thing is, I'm not going to make it comfortable for social workers anymore, okay? That's not my job to do anymore. Because while we have a society, like I mentioned to you before, where children can be removed and there's no accountability around the level of heartache that that causes, we also have this mad, bad, sad story that all of us benefit from, that Aboriginal people are the most imprisoned race on the planet. Aboriginal people are taking their lives quicker than any other population on the planet.
Yes.
That, as in my job as senior school counsellor, where I hear nearly every week children who are deciding, they're making a decision that they don't no longer want to live on the planet, okay? Which also confirms for me, us humans are fucking up the planet for the next generation. So I'm not going to be polite anymore to social workers and whatever. I'm beyond that, okay? I don't care this whole status thing about earning respect and whatever, or becoming some great Aboriginal social worker. I don't care about that. I want to become the best I can be as a human being and do what is necessary. Simple as that.
I'm aware that there is a group of Aboriginal social workers that are members of the AASW. Do they have the same kinds of feelings around the profession being a colonising and white privileged profession and not really looking at themselves that way, giving themselves scrutiny?
Yeah, so most of, and I'm just going to say most, because, you know, it'd be rude of me to say everyone, but most people that I interact with or have some connection with would argue a number of things and would say a number of things. Social work has become too infatuated with itself and its self-importance that it's not good for any group or any human being to enter that space, okay? Because you become individualistic. And
it doesn't fit with social work values.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing, is how do you actually act on your values and stuff?
Well, the two big ones that I came away with is social justice and human rights.
Exactly. And what actually are the pillars for those things are around human dignity, respect, everyone's worth, etc.
And I think those core values, if you were to live out those core values in the way that we're supposed to be living out those values, there's no room for racism.
Well, there's no room for any of those isms. Racism, sexism, ageism, disableism, we've got the risk now, and I know it's going to sound a little bit silly to you, Lucy, but there's a paper in the making, I think, around where we're grabbing hold of resilience and trauma, okay, and particularly in education and school settings, where the intent is good, you know, they want to improve social and emotional learning, but whose way of being are you imposing on another? That's the other problem. And also, you've got to be careful of when you talk about resilience. If you are a child who is being sexually abused, you cannot ever be labelled as not resilient if you crack and you break, okay? Because there are things in life that are totally unacceptable. And no human being should be left with, and particularly children, that in any way they are to blame or be responsible for what harm has been made. And I'll give you an example. Well-meaning social workers want to do protective behaviours and they put on these children, identify five people, blah, blah, blah. Well, hold on. What the fuck's going on with the adults? Okay, I want to get to the point. So this is part of my future story is, we're going to help the adults to seriously look at what's going down, okay? Not put it all on the children that they have to protect themselves, etc., and then wait for the social worker to rescue. It's the story we're colluding with still, okay? And the other reality
comes back to responsibility.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we're all colluding with you know, taking away responsibility from people and that. But the other thing, Lucy, that in hopefully you also hear, I'm okay if there comes a time where social work doesn't exist, okay? Mm. Because that also means the planet will be in a healthier place and we all actually will have a role anyway. Mm. All of us will have a role because it would mean people will be doing what is meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? One of the a beautiful documentary that I watched recently, I mean, with many of them, but one of them that really stood out was the growing industry, rehabilitation industry, in responding to methamphetamine use, the ICE problem. And we all have to get our heads around that the most traumatised will access ICE, okay?
Yes.
So we've got yet another threat to communities that's happening now, and it's growing, okay? Every human being has that addiction risk, but the more hopeless you are, the more the addiction can thrive and grow, because it fills gaps. You know, if you have gaps, you will fill it with addiction. And in this documentary, where it looked at different professionals as to what they had to do to engage people and go out of the way, and you can't sit in the office to engage people. And I'm sure the practice has existed forever in humankind, where you go out and check on people and make sure they're all right, sort of thing, you know? And also this incredible compassion that these professionals displayed, because they knew, you know, whatever reason that it led to that person developing an addiction, but choosing an addiction or being trapped, it's not necessarily true, being trapped in an addiction that can cause you so much suffering. You only have the little high and feeling powerful, very short period, but the rest of it is suffering, And so not only was it affirming, it's a good reminder, Lucy, for you and a whole lot of people, is that we have to strengthen those voices of compassion and human decency above the latest newfangled dangle theory or the latest trendy thing. Fundamentally, it is the human behaviour that has existed forever that is really going to be the most important human behaviour that makes us all rise to the better self that we can be. And so that's the other thing around language that I'm conscious of trying to articulate with whoever that I'm with, is, are you operating at your lesser self or at your greatest self? Because the greatest self is actually there. It's just, for some people, it hasn't had the opportunity for the right food to nourish it. And that's what I'm getting to, the point that I'm going to say to you, Lucy, is that I'm one of those fortunate human beings who got given the right ingredients along the way to be made the person that I am and that I continue to grow to be. Because you can choose which foods you want to eat and drink that will make you the healthiest you can be.
I can't help thinking about, because it must have been so many challenges working in this profession for you. How do you continue to stand up and protest and challenge the people that are effectively going along with the world as it is when you see the world in different eyes, through a different lens?
Yeah.
What keeps you going?
Because there's actually a lot of us out there. That's what I want to really stress, okay? Even though this interview is with me, I'm one of many good people out there. And if you look at Desmond Tutu's, one of his beautiful sayings, an interviewer asked him, Desmond Tutu personifies hope, the whole way he carries himself, etc. But this is a beautiful response, and it's what I also believe, is every day there are good human beings doing good stuff, right? I'm just one of many people out there. And you've got to not lose sight of that. So, because, for example, media and etc. bombards you with what is chosen to bombard you. If it was chosen that we got bombarded 24/7 with all the good that's happening on the planet, honestly, we would all wake up a little bit less depressed and realise there is a lot of good happening, okay? And we'd actually would start growing it more and more, you know? And that's what we need to be doing, is connecting like you are today, Lucy, connecting, getting hold of those stories and truths, because there's many truths, but what are the helpful truths, okay? And what are the hopeful truths that humanity is needing and the planet needs right now? The other thing about when I do have struggles is I'm also mindful of and have to be careful of this, is that when things challenge you, for example, differences of perceptions or mainstream, for example, bureaucracy doing something because it's the latest way of doing something and it gets in the way of actually common sense or just being helpful, is that it actually reminds us that a lot of us get trapped into systems and ways of doing things that are just constructed. Right, and we forget that they're all just constructed, right? Because how it could look in 20 years could be a whole different thing.
Yes.
And it's what also makes me hopeful about, and it's also what has pushed me to think more in a community development way and continue to think outside of the square, is so much more can be done in the way of healing that social work has to get their head around it may not include them.
Right.
Or that you may only pay a very, very, very small part and it should be damn small because it ain't about you. You know? And that's a really important question one, when you're involved, when you are a change agent, you do have to question yourself, okay, is this about me and what am I getting out of it? And you've got to be honest with yourself, doing the right thing, okay? And I happen to be paid for it, happen to meet other good people, so you do get benefits from it. And but you have to look at the next question is, does it do deep change and true change? Because otherwise we're all guilty of messing around with people's lives, you know, and not giving, you know, the true space that people deserve. I also believe that it takes up many different types of people, you know, to make change as well. And that I too have to be open to people who are different to me, but that also have important things to add. And I think the most important thing is, as long as there's no abuse of power and control, and that at the end of the day is that actions in particular has generally improved things. Because that's the other frustration that I have, Lucy, is we fucking talk a lot. Talk. And Aboriginal people are the most talked about problem on the planet, but we don't fucking do anything. Okay? And sorry for my potty mouth, but that's what gets me angry. And I get angry with myself if I catch myself doing too much talk, like a peacock flattering her magnificent tail. Then I even chastise myself about, well, you've done enough, you know, showing off. What are you going to do about it? Okay? And that also is important for not just being a role model for Aboriginal people, it's a role model to other women and social workers around how you might take, what is it? It's like Saturday Night Live, John Travolta. He had a particular dance, right? The way he walked down the road. That's what some of us, we say women of colour, you got to find the way to strut your stuff, okay? Because we also live in a society and culture where a lot of shame, right? It's very easy for us humans to do the shame walk, right? And I decided at a young age I'm not going to be shame, right? So there are Aboriginal people who will go, oh, she got no shame. She real bold, right? Okay, well, I own that and I'm okay about that because some of us have to be bold. So in my interaction with some people where I might disagree or whatever, I have to be bold. And something you said earlier in the, our conversation that reminded me, and I wanted to make sure I reminded you about this really important point. And it's something that I really want to share with a lot of Aboriginal people at different times, and particularly if they're feeling stuck. You've got nothing to lose just by giving it a go. Because while you stay shy or stuck, you don't ever get that opportunity to shine, you know? And so that's my deal, I'm going to shine. But talking about shine, because it's a really important thing, to look after yourself.
Okay? Yes. So you're going to tell us about self-care?
Yeah, because that's
in the work?
It's a really important thing. And it's not, what I do may not fit for you or others, but I know for some people it's really helped them. And some of it I've only discovered recently. And so that's partly why I'm excited about what is evolving for me as a practitioner.
Right.
I often don't call myself a healer. I'm probably more a warrior for change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because you need more of those people as well who can put themselves out there and will take the knocks. And in taking the knocks and being brave, bold or whatever, you also got to be mindful of there's times when you need to retreat or you need to lick the wounds or you need to recalibrate because you're re-triggering trauma and that.
For yourself or the other
for
person?
For myself.
Okay,
yeah. Or because if you don't make sure yourself's okay, you can impact on others. Mm. And particularly in energy-wise, I know with myself I'm a high-energy person and a lot of good can come from me, but if I'm not looking after myself and that energy becomes less, it's almost like I've gone from being a beautiful sunny day to the eclipse. It impacts on other people. Mm. If I don't shine, people lose out, okay? Let alone me losing out, if that makes sense. So for me to shine, I made a really big decision at a young age that I would not tolerate violence.
Mm.
Sadly, as women who have grown up with violence, you can attract men along in your life who are violent. And they can come in the guise of charming until things change. So I think that's really important for people with traumatic backgrounds that you do make a decision around what you can't no longer tolerate in your life and be very strong about that.
Mm.
Because the risk of compromise, particularly as women, that's where feminist theory has done magnificent work around, is women do compromise themselves. It's the way we've been socialised, etc. So as I get older and older, I become a more grumpy old woman around the bullshit that women tolerate, whether it be injection of silicon and whatever other rubbish that is happening on the planet, okay? And I often think, well, when a woman injects silicon in her bum, she's clearly forgetting that there's millions of children on the planet who are starving. So there's something going wrong with that story, you know what I mean? So anyway, we won't pick on the cosmetic industry anymore. But being
not
really true to yourself and true to something that is going to give you a greater reward than any money or things are going to give you. You know?
So your self-care is looking out for those opportunities that take you off that.
Yes, yes.
Really,
so,
aren't you? What's important to me and who I am, and
exactly.
If I move off away from that, that's when
exactly
you need to bring yourself back.
Yeah, so I can't do Tupperware parties because I find that the most meaningless bullshit on the planet that I could do to myself, okay? So sorry if you have Tupperware. There are activities that just don't require a second of my attention. So what fills my cup is being very mindful of, one, like I've indicated, being very true to myself. Number two, be very aware of the toxins and things that get into my body, and alcohol is one of those toxins that I can't allow at all in my life because alcohol will help me to be lesser than. But also alcohol, and I'm going to be upfront with you, Lucy, I was a child who had attempted suicide, and we won't get into too much of that. But one of the things that helps people who can get so sad and reach a point of seeking peace through suicide is alcohol becomes the best lubricant to actualize that, okay? So it's one of the things that I made a decision for myself, but I also wanted to role model to a whole lot of brothers and sisters and cousins and mobs out there. You do not have to have alcohol in your life. And do not see it as, I did not have to do AAA. It was a conscious decision I made in my life that I will have a happy and rich and fulfilled life without alcohol being present in it. I'm very fortunate that my husband made that decision as well, separate to me, and he's an Aboriginal man, and we both support that around that we can have a fulfilling life without alcohol being present in it at all. And you realise when you make big decisions like that, you had wasted in the past, and you don't want to waste another second. Not another second. The other point about self-care, because people in varying ways see religion as an anchor. And so I see spirituality separate to religion. Spirituality is this deep thing of being truly connected. Connected with life itself. That is one of the areas that I think is most profound for humanity, is helping to be connected. And so, because I'm bold, I do confront in the workplace and I do make people feel uncomfortable, and I'm okay about it. Is, are you using alcohol or other substances to supposedly cope with life when you're actually self-medicating? Are you only experiencing joy, which is a false joy, but you can only do it through the use of substances, right? So, and some people will react to that. I know that as, oh, she'd be Miss Moralistic Queen. But for those who will allow themselves to get to know me, they know it's coming from a position of where I've learnt, I've realised, and I'm going to be the best I can be, and do the best I can be, I have to do. Okay? So because I do, my body contains pain, and that's since childhood. So I do make sure of things like massages and different types of massages. So because I have a big spirit and the body has to carry it, I have to look after the body so the spirit can be the best it can be. So so when I talk about self-care, it's not in this shallow way of make sure you get your hair cut. It's from a very deep level because it is life and death, literally. If beautiful Josephine does not look after herself, she shrivels up and she will die. And that doesn't mean, and what I had learnt from a young age, you do not have to suicide or someone threaten to kill you to die. You can die literally from not feeling beloved or that your existence matters. I think that will be the most wonderful thing that I can continue to do, is persuade someone that their existence matters, you know? And I've already done that many times. And I'll explain that. Because I'm having to deal with, in my job, a lot of sorrow and people having completed, and we're talking children aged 10 to adults who have everything going for them, who choose to end their lives, okay? Those messages I get, the big one is me role modeling that don't throw your life away, because life itself isn't the problem, it's what else is going on, okay? And that if you hang in there long enough, it's actually worth hanging in there long enough. And also, I want to be able to influence social work and other professions around the importance of authentic connection, right? And that can be done in this risk-averse world, okay? Because, you know,
it needs to be done.
Exactly. Yeah. Because one of the things that people don't realise, in a risk-averse world, the predators still thrive. The people who are causing harm for whatever reason will still thrive.
Mm.
You've got to get into, we must do whatever it takes to invest in what humanity needs, okay? Mm. Not operating from what is worrying you and what is causing you fear, and you're trying to go that way all the time. Mm. If you put your energy this way, people will become healthier, wholer, and the predators won't thrive. But people become their greater self, the less likely they're going to harm themselves and harm others, and that true realisation of the responsibility that they have for themselves and others. There's a word, Lucy, that you need to Google, and I can't think of the spelling right now. It's kulu. It's a Hawaiian word, and it's one of the best ways I've ever seen of kuluta. It comes to me later, I'll text you. But how I came across the word is the song, this guy, Hawaiian singer, and I had to find out what was he talking about.
So this concept comes from the Hawaiian people? Is that
well,
right,
it's where I've seen it best articulated around responsibility, etc.
We can put it in the show notes.
Because they articulate it so well, and usually they have, as with most Indigenous words, there's a story that goes with it to be able to explain what it really means. But I'll do my best now. When you're a child, you play in the forest and you are given permission by nature itself to enjoy it and play, okay? Because that's what you need to do as a child, is to experience and to just learn by your senses, etc. But over time, what should happen is you realise that your existence exists because of the forest, and the forest exists because of you, okay? So over time, you then realise you are actually the caretaker of the forest.
I love this.
And it's your responsibility, okay? It's probably the best way that I've been able to see in another language it articulated. And so that's the other beautiful thing about NAIDOC celebration this year, that the focus on language, and it's so exciting because we need to run with momentum around this whole thing. It's not only that language is part of your identity and the history. You've got to understand that different languages come from different human ways of being on this world. English, particularly Germanic languages, are industrialized language. It is about what the human needs to do to make things, right? Other languages, particularly Indigenous languages, are spiritual languages because it's about what, how one must be with all that is around you and life itself.
It's relationship-based, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Can you see just in language itself?
Yes.
It will determine how you will hold yourself, how you will interact with others, and how you will step lightly on this planet.
Yes. Yeah. And it comes back to worldviews too, doesn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So even though I've grown up in two worlds, I will be challenged till the day I die around, I know this way of being is not healthy, but there's another way of being that is far more healthy for actually all human beings.
So the gift of this language and these words to social work is, what would you say?
To truly challenge it around the constructs that social work has entered into and its own ways of validating its existence. So for Aboriginal people, the huge fight around cultural genocide and to justify that your way of being and living and the way you wish to articulate your existence is not valued by mainstream society, including social workers, part of those perpetuators and perpetrators as well, and colludes with certain activities, that we have to have other voices become stronger and louder. And that will mean that will cost others not being as heard anymore. Mm. But I'm okay about that. I think you would know the word Lucy Dudgery. Dudgery is a Daly River word. Dudgery means a deep listening, right? And that doesn't mean by your ears, eyes. And that. It means truly give up of your ego and yourself to be present for all that is there coming to you, okay? And to do that, you also have to enter a strong space yourself to be open. Because sometimes in life too, you may be, yourself need to be confronted. There are many times I need to be confronted myself around how I can behave badly. And that's important because that's part of growth. It's part of you being able to look at yourself with your fallibility, your warts and all, literally, as a mere mortal, there are times when I do not behave at my greatest self, okay? And it's to be expected, right? That's why it's important, like, to hold on to those worldviews and language where it would articulate so well that all of us need guidance to do this life, you know? We all need it.
Yeah. But what you bring is a boldness and a courage to speak up and speak out. Yep. And the greatest learnings happen from that.
Exactly.
And if you bring practices like Dadiri to your life, then you also have opportunities to go inside and reflect on that and grow and learn.
Exactly, exactly.
So thank you for mentioning that. It's a lovely practice.
And people would understand life wasn't meant to be an easy journey.
No.
Otherwise it would be boring. It's not meant to be easy.
No.
It's meant to challenge you and you're meant to learn from it and you're meant to be striving. Well, how can I do this better?
Yeah, and there is suffering in the world.
Exactly.
And we all suffer.
Exactly.
And beautiful practices like these help us
to
get through these times.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask you if there was anything else, any other things that people might be interested in going away and reading that have been really influential in your work or in your life. Is there any particular books or articles or things that you think, this would summarise it and I'd love people to go away and read that?
So some of them I'll quickly, when I go back home, I'm going to quickly email you as well.
Beautiful.
Because I've also had the privilege of going to international Indigenous conferences and being able to connect with just wonderful Indigenous human beings who are brave and bold. Okay, but also just stunning, stunning beings that you know who are doing already, but are also part of what is going to be the biggest chapter ahead of us in humanity. Okay, because we all are responsible for whether this planet exists or not. That's how serious it's become, and we can't no longer finger point to whether it be Trump or ISIS, because that is actually lazy human behaviour. It's actually all of our responsibility. It's easy to blame others when in actual fact that we all play a part. And even if it is that you've chosen to be quiet, well, you've actually did something, you've sent a message out that in some way. I just got to add this, Lucy, that's really important, both as self-care, but as an Aboriginal person and just as a human being, is having the ability to laugh at yourself, right? Because you want to go away feeling a little bit heavy duty after this conversation. And I want you to know that one of the most magnificent things is to have humour, because that is a really resilient attribute sort of thing. And Aboriginal people have one of the most wonderful sense of humours on the planet, because there's only so much crying you can do. Then there comes a point where you've got to say, well, that was pretty fucked. What are we going to do now? it is just stunning, Aboriginal people's ability to laugh at times, because But it's also part of life is to have moments of joy, right? You do not have to be Paris Hilton or wealthy to have moments of joy. This is one of the most important life lessons that I have had and that I share with anyone. And I'm going to stress that to you now, Lucy, because I think it's just telling me I have to share this. It's a really important point. Even when you've had terrible experiences, whether it be a car accident or loss of family or someone's done something terrible to you, life still gives you permission to have moments of joy, honestly, and moments to appreciate it. I suppose Nelson Mandela articulated it so well when he was released from prison after 30 years of being behind bars, etc. He said that if he did not leave behind in his head, if he did not leave hatred and other things, he would may as well remained in prison. And it affirmed what I had realised early in my life, the importance of it is not so much what you achieve or status or how many things you can collect. It is how you conduct yourself in life that is really important. And I think that is the greatest gift I've been given in amongst all the shitful things and the good things and amazing things is the message you are given is, okay, well, that was pretty fucked. I can be pretty fucked over with it, but no, I'm going to fucking do something about it. Okay? So you can rephrase that somehow.
Never.
So that's it. Hopefully answered the question.
Yeah, no, that was beautiful. So is there anywhere that people can connect with you, either online or in person? I know that you're on LinkedIn. Yeah, is that a good way to
connect with people? I'll try to use that because it is a good way to have a space that's safe to have people connecting.
I'm sure there's going to be many people listening to this might want to follow up on.
And so, Lucy, you've given me today the encouragement to use technology cleverly. Because I know I've got to update it as well. But it's probably the safest space for me for people to connect, because someone did track me down, particularly about that question around hope-focused approach. And I'm actually really pleased they did track me down, because it was what I soon realised is that that person was a Christian social worker. So it also highlighted for me that we're going to have a conversation happening that isn't in the Christian space so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Christians can be part of it because it's really important to them, and they probably would understand the concept quite well.
But so is this something that you would be interested in continuing with people that may be listening to this?
Conversation? Yeah. Because the other thing that I want to move away from is when we construct theories or try to give labels for ways of doing things or to justify the change that you've been part of, is that sometimes in our cleverness we make something out of reach for what is actually everyone should be able to do. Okay, to me that's not really clever. If you make something that only psychiatrists can do, which in actual fact there is a greater need of what most human beings can do, right? And probably the latest crisis in suicide is probably stressing that more than anything, that over 50% of people who end their lives will never access a helping profession.
Yes.
If anything, you need the average lay human being to understand it's actually okay to ask them if they're okay or to reach out. But it's also, we have to educate society in general that when someone reaches a point of despair, it's not a weakness. It has nothing to do with weakness. It's whatever has gone on to reach at that moment that level of suffering is intolerable. Okay? And it's not for us to judge as to a person's dreadful choice they've had to make. But what I would hope is somewhere along the line as a society is that we build greater safety nets that particularly children, when they reach a moment of despair, they can jump on a safety net and not have to make a dreadful decision that can actually not be undone.
Yeah. So what you're actually saying is that people who are in a moment of despair, they have a whole community around them.
Exactly.
That are there to respond in that moment. And it's not just professionals coming in that
exactly
are there. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's the other, connects with community development approach around. We've got to do more for the average person to feel they can do something about what's going on around them. Because if you keep investing in these spoiled professionals, you're never going to make change.
Mm.
You've just made a fantastic opportunity for professionals, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So I get a sense that some of your future work, I might be wrong, is around this hope-filled practice and how we become better communities and back to how we used to be. Yeah, being able to be responsive and care for and responsible for everyone in our community.
Yeah.
Is that part of your future work?
Well, Lucy...
Potentially?
Yeah, it is. I feel I actually have no choice about it. It's my fate.
Great.
It's my destiny.
Well, I look forward to seeing what that looks like and how I can be involved.
And I'll give you an example.
And how others might be involved.
As a great person. Barack Obama, we have yet to see the best of him. And I'm going to explain that. Mm. Barack Obama is a good person. He's also got incredible thinking and he has yet to offer more. But when he was in the position of a politician, he was constrained by all that was around him. So some people say, why don't you be a politician? I would not be able to be me if I was a politician, because you become censored, you become constrained by the monster that you have chosen to step into, right? I want to be more free agent to that than that. The person I'm accountable is me, fundamentally me. And when I leave this life, that have I done the best I can be, and the humanity benefit from that, okay? I think... That in itself, that's a big job.
You don't have to be the Prime Minister to do it.
Exactly. Because you can actually do it in so many other ways that are going to be more powerful.
Yeah, you used the words change agent before, and that really fits with my idea of change agent. You don't have to be the big player in the picture.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can be a bold, courageous person in your community, in your family.
Exactly.
Whatever space you find yourself in. Yeah.
Exactly.
I just want to thank you, Josephine, for meeting me in this beautiful place on this gorgeous dry season day and sharing so much of yourself, so much of your work, your courage, your kindness, your compassion. Thank you for bringing that to this world. And, I wish you very well on whatever you've got planned in the next few months and beyond. So thank you again. Yeah, it's been wonderful, and I'm sure we could just chat for hours and hours, but and maybe we will have another opportunity at some stage down the track. I'd love to have you back.
Lucy, really important message for you is pour into yourself what it is that's needed to be as authentic as you can be.
Thank you. I will.
Because Aboriginal people will see it. They'll see beyond your skin and whatever.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Talk the Walk, the podcast putting legs on social work in Indigenous communities through story. Music by Flashback Digital. You can access all the show notes from today's podcast at www.metaphorically-speaking.com.au. I'm currently on the lookout for inspiring interviewees. If you or someone you know is walking the talk in their work or community, then I'd love to hear from you. You can drop me an email at lucy@metaphorically-speaking.com.au or visit my contact page on the Metaphorically Speaking website. Until next time, just keep on walking.